Hello, and welcome to the CGF podcast. Today we're going to be talking about two of our favorite kind of recent games. One of these games is recent, and one of them is not. Actually, maybe
they both came out at the same time, 2014.
They're really?
Like, yeah, but one of them's early access right now. It's leaving early access in about a week or two.
About a month, yeah. One of them is just right on the edge of exiting early access in the middle of August, I think. Goes to version 1.0 after almost 3 years of early access. That game is 20XX, and the other game which we're talking about is This War of Mine.
Yes, both of which we recently, on the podcast, I challenged you and was defeated.
That's right. Both of these games, you challenged me to a race, and both of them, I vanquished you.
This War of Mine, I'm like not really bothered by it. I didn't give it as much of an effort, but I was like really, really gunning for beating you at 20XX and like taking a break from it and going to the bar to discuss some things with a friend of mine and just getting a message while I'm at the bar being like, I should have been at home. What are my priorities? Why did I leave the game?
Yeah, I think it's so funny. I think it's so funny that you're like, oh, if I just hadn't come to this bar,
yeah.
Like that was where you really went wrong. This War of Mine, I think both of us had this game years ago. As you said, it came out in 2014 and I got it. I'm not sure if it was in 2014, but I got it years ago for sure. I think I might have gotten it at the 2015 Steam Summer Sale, as I mentioned in one of our previous podcasts when we were talking about the Summer Sale from this year.
Yeah, I mean, like, remembering when you acquired games at this point with how large your Steam library is just kind of a futile exercise, I think. Be like, yeah, oh yeah, I purchased that on, like, December, you know, in the December sale of 2000 blah, blah, blah.
So, but when did you buy the game? It was years ago.
I have no idea.
Years ago, though, right?
I mean, like, yeah, I mean, I've been playing it. I might have got it in a bundle, like, a couple years ago or something. I don't remember.
Okay, so both of us have been playing the game for years, and neither of us had finished it, and it came up in conversation, and I had wanted to finish the game, especially since I got an American friend here in Asia who finished the game and told me that he beat the game, and I was really surprised to hear that, because somehow I thought that maybe there wasn't an ending to the game, and now I realize how silly of a thought that is, because clearly it ends. But it just felt like the game just kind of goes on and on. We'll explain a little bit about how the game works, which will maybe make it clear why I felt that way, but both of us had wanted to complete the game, and I'm happy that you challenged me to race in that game because I finally finished it, and that's really one that for a long time I had been hoping to finish.
Yeah, I think the challenges that we give each other are like really good motivation. For me, at least, with a lot of games, I find that I'll drop off, I'll lose focus, you know, I mean, like with Zelda, I'm just struggling to like, I'm get distracted every time I play and I'm not like getting closer to the ending really.
Yeah, I'm surprised how long it's taken you to get through that game.
Well, I mean,
I thought it'd be quicker. I thought you'd just binge on it.
Devin's got like over 150 hours in it and still hasn't beat it.
That is very surprising.
Yeah. Crazy, right?
Okay, so anyway, let's talk about This War of Mine. First of all, this was developed by 11-bit Studios in Warsaw, Poland. It's a game which takes place in Eastern Europe, and it's an indie game. The studio is just 30 people. It's founded by ex-CD Projekt Red members, which I thought was interesting, which explains maybe why the production values are so high and why the game looks so great despite being developed by a small group.
I mean, they also did the game Anomaly, Warzone Earth, which I think had really nice production values as well.
I haven't played that. Have you played
it? Yeah, it's super cool. I have a copy of it I can give to you later.
Cool. So This War of Mine is a survival-themed strategy game. It was released in November 2014, as we mentioned, on Windows and Mac. Later came to Android and iOS, so it's kind of popular on all those platforms. It's a really gut-wrenching game.
Depressing.
It's a depressing game. It's a depressing game wherein you control a group of civilian survivors in a makeshift shelter in the besieged war-torn fictional city of Pogoren, Groznavia. Basically, it takes place in Eastern Europe. The main goal of the game is to survive the war with the tools and materials that you can gather using the characters which you control. And it's inspired by the Siege of Sarajevo from 1992 to 1996 during the Bosnian War. And that was the longest city siege since World War II. And the game is really about the civilian experience of war rather than frontline combat. So,
which, I mean, when the game came out, like, that whole aspect was so interesting, considering that, you know, pretty much every game, you're the hero, the, like, soldier.
Yeah, you know, games tend to glorify war, you know, like Call of Duty. It's like you're the gun-toting guy on the front lines, like, shooting people in the head.
And you don't really see the pain. And, I mean, there's violence and stuff and people die, but you don't see, like, what a harrowing experience it is for, like, all the people involved.
That is really what this game's about. This game is, like, about that harrowing experience. It kind of reminded me a lot of Darkest Dungeon. I know you haven't played that game much, but that's also another game which is all about especially the mental anguish of war and how it destroys you kind of from the inside.
And you have to worry about, like, the lighting and all kinds of stuff in that game, and your guys get, like, mental disorders and stuff, I think, in Darkest Dungeon.
Right. So, well,
which you have to worry about in this War of Mine as well, like the stability of your...
It's actually a bigger issue in Darkest Dungeon than it is in this War of Mine. The two games are similar in a lot of ways. They both have permadeath. Like, when someone dies, they're dead. They're not coming back.
Super frustrating.
There's no loading a save game from previously and, like, bringing them back alive. It doesn't work. And in this War of Mine, basically, your people are always starving. They're always hungry. They get injured. They get sick. They deal with mental issues. So it's kind of those four things are, like, the big things which get you.
I mean, I hate, like, sometimes I'll feed them and then they'll just be like, I'm still hungry. I'm like, bitch, I just fed you. What the fuck? Like, you need more food?
Yeah. That's how, like, the system works. You know, if they're starving and you feed them, they just go to very hungry.
Yeah.
And then if they're very hungry and you feed them, they go to hungry. So anyway, it is a really difficult game. You know, there's a great feeling of satisfaction for me having finished it because it was really hard.
You had to be patient. You had to be real. You can't be like, I'm going to rush through this building or whatever. You know, there's aspects of stealth, of, like, so many different things to be concerned about. I mean, getting caught stealing something. And then the aspect of, like, you know, just stealing from people and having that mentally tax your players.
You know, I found that it's better to not do that. It's better to not steal from others in the game just because the penalty for that is so
too
great.
High. Yeah.
Yeah. It's also a good idea to not kill other people if you can, because that also just brings a really great mental toll.
Yeah. So stealth basically what is happens, the way to go. And the combat's just not, like, really easy.
I explained that we talked about this on a previous podcast, which brought us to this challenge actually, but I described this experience where I had an unarmed survivor who was looting a place, and I came upon a shotgun toting hostile and got into a fist fight with him, took the shotgun, shot him, and then another guy came in, shot him too. And I had, like, all this, I had a shotgun ammo, like, all the stuff they
had.
And
you were like, oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Go back, and he's like, how could I kill those two guys?
Right. He's like crying in bed for 2 days straight. What happens specifically with these guys is they get broken.
Yeah.
Like, broken is the status ailment.
You can't, like, use them basically for anything, right?
Right. So they're just, like, they're broken. They're, like, lying on the ground motionless, and they're unresponsive to everything. Like, other people come up and talk to them, and, like, they won't respond to anything. And you just have to wait a period until they get over that. And when you have people die in this War of Mine, man, it really hits you hard. It's really tough to lose somebody. Throughout most of the game, I don't know if your experience has been like this, but for me, it was usually, like, around 3 or 4 people. And so when you lose one person, it's a major loss.
It's a huge impact. Yeah. It's kind of like, oh, that was my guy that I keep as a guard, or that was my cook. That was my scavenger.
Right. They all have special abilities. So maybe, you know, one guy's a good cook or one guy's a handyman.
The biggest thing is having, for me, like, having a guy who, like, is a good scavenger. He's fast. He can carry more stuff. And then you lose that, and it's like your scavenging runs are, like, way worse off when you lose a guy like that. And that impacts the whole, like, everybody else, because you can't have good runs then.
I think the scavenger is maybe the most important character out of all of them, because the criteria of a good scavenger is that he has the storage space to carry more things. And that's really important, because as you go to these different locations, basically when you get to nightfall in the game, you can select which of the survivors you want to loot a particular place. So they can go to, like, the city square, or they can go to an abandoned warehouse, or a destroyed school or a number of other locations. And when you go there, you don't know what you'll find. You might find locked doors.
Well, I mean, you have an idea. People. It'll tell you like that there's like lots of food here. There's a little food or whatever, but you don't know whether or not you're going to find it on this run, where it's going to be, who's going to be there.
You don't really
know.
I mean, it gives you some idea. You know, like there's an idea of like probability. You know, you're likely to encounter danger at this place, yeah. but you really don't know if you'll encounter a person or how many people or whether or not they're armed or how they respond to you. Sometimes you encounter armed people and they're like, hey, let's not fight. And yeah. then you can just amicably work it out. Other times they just shoot at you immediately.
You know, like the sniper junction.
Yeah.
The first time I came out there, I was just like running out and then whoop, bam. And I was like, son of a no. And
I'm
like,
you killed just immediately there?
No. Like he like fell down and then I like and got back up and I turn around and he's like wounded, right? I turned around, but I didn't react fast enough, got another shot, and then I died because I just didn't react fast enough.
There's
to the
kind
first
of a cool story sequence there, you know, with the guy who like has the daughter who's
yeah.
injured. Did you have that?
Yeah.
It's pretty neat. It's just really pulls at your heartstrings, this game. You know, you can really feel the sadness of the survivors and how difficult life is. And it also tells you a little bit of a background on all the characters. So this guy used to be a professional football player until the war started and he lost everything.
Yeah.
Or this person was one of the, my characters was a lawyer. She's like, she was a,
and that's
came from
really
nothing.
Helpful
like,
now.
Yeah, it was, and right, exactly. Well, it says that on her. She's like, it's like legal expert, like where it would say like scavenger or like good cook. And it's like, oh, cool, that's useless.
Yeah, like what, we're going to go talk to the military and
anyway, it just paints this contrast of like they're living in a new world now. This is not the world of football players and lawyers. This is the world of doing horrible things just to survive. And basically, I think the game is kind of about you sort of have to do terrible things in order to survive. So
yeah, occasionally.
Well, I said just a minute ago that, you know, I try not to steal and I try not to kill people.
Sometimes you need to, though.
I think in the course of beating the game, which is 30 to 50 days,
yeah.
which you have to survive, I think inevitably you will do both of those things.
At
basically,
least once.
Yeah, basically, yeah. I mean, the idea is that it's, you know, you have to do horrible things to survive. And that's just kind of how it works. It reminds me a little bit of like Game of Thrones, you know, all the characters in Game of Thrones, like only the bad guys survive. It's like the Starks all get killed because they're like good guys.
They're too good.
Yeah, exactly.
Ned Stark, he's too good.
If you just play as a good guy, like you're going to get eliminated.
And you cast Sean Bean probably too.
So there's a little bit of that in this game. You know, if you're just like a nice, good guy, you're probably not going to last very long.
Be like, I'm playing this game to be the friendliest neighbor, so I'll survive. You said you don't like helping other people when they like come knocking at your door,
right?
You're like, fuck that shit. Like, my guy,
well, it's a little bit too risky, you know,
because he might not come back or he's gonna be gone for a couple of days and you might not get anything worthwhile out of
it. I'm just worried about them disappearing. So that happened to me like a number of times. Basically what happens in the game is other survivors come knocking on your door and they trade things with you, or in a lot of cases they need your help.
It'll make them, I mean, I would say the best time to do something like that is if someone comes knocking at your door and you have like someone who's like they're all depressed or something, helping them has like a huge
right.
boost to your there. They'll be happy for days, be like, I'm really happy that we, you know, gave those children some water.
No, they won't say that at all. They're not happy. They're just, their depression is reduced. But that's a good point, because the only time that I think that makes sense is if everybody's depressed, because helping other people out and doing virtuous things like that is probably the best way to address the problem of depression, which is pretty serious in the game. If your people get depressed, they get their injuries don't heal, their sickness doesn't get better, and they just generally, you can see like devolving conditions a lot in this game.
Right.
You get raided at night. I mean, I got raided like almost every night, right?
I mean, after you get to like around like day 20 or something, if you haven't like boarded up everything and like got
reinforced. No, you still get raided. You still get raided. I mean, I have.
No, I mean, like if you haven't done all that, guaranteed you're getting raided almost every night, and you're like probably going to get fucked up if you haven't like done all that
shit. No, even if you have done all that, you still get raided. I still get raided like every night.
There's yeah, but you can like defend yourself and shit. If you haven't right. like done all that stuff, it's usually like so-and-so was injured and you exactly. lost like all this shit. And you're exactly. like, God damn.
They get injured. So yeah. you might sustain like a minor injury and then it turns into a not so minor injury and then a serious injury yeah. and then you're bedridden and then like, and then the person gets depressed also yeah. and then they're getting hungry too. And then it's these things just all add up and yeah. like snowball into really bad situations. And so once you get, I don't know, past like day 6 or 7, then you're pretty much just like putting out fires all over the place. And it's just constantly trying to hold it together rather than, you know, proactively trying to improve your situation. It's like trying to stop things from falling apart.
Do you have the Little Ones DLC?
Yeah.
But you didn't play with that, did you?
I tried it briefly and I found it really hard.
I mean the child like just can't do anything. They're just like a burden basically, right?
Yes, but they also make other people a lot happier. So depression is less of an issue when you have the kids around, but the game just feels like even darker
when you've got a kid. You're yeah, like, I mean, oh, no.
Even without kids, I'm just like, man, this is like a really heavy game.
But then it's like, oh, you know, the 5-year-old died yesterday.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
What? Like, what the fuck?
Froze to death. His little body couldn't take it. It's like, yeah, it's just really, really tough to handle. Also, like after I had beaten the game, there was such a feeling of satisfaction that was kind of like, ah, fuck this game. Like, this is like a depressing mess that I don't want to deal with anymore.
But then you're like, oh, they made it. They made it through the cold, hard winter. And like,
right. No, when I beat it, it's like, finally. It's like, yes, you know, because it was so hard.
You guys deserve this. You deserve the victory that we just got.
Yeah. So after that, it's just like, yeah, I'm like happy to, have done this for now. So I'm like, I uninstalled the game like almost immediately.
Really?
Like, yeah.
Like, you're like, I don't want to revisit this for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. For like, I'm not playing that game again for like a while.
Yeah.
So cool. Let's move on to our next game though, which is 20XX.
Oh God. This game like really surprised me. You know, like
it's a lot better than I thought it was.
It's very similar to Mega Man X, which the developers like have been very clear about that.
It is
too.
Pretty much Mega Man with like one or two with a few new
procedural
mechanics.
Procedural generation and like hundreds of items and stuff. So I mean, it's cool. Like I'm happy that they're like doing that, you know, because Capcom's certainly not doing that.
Yeah, so the game is inspired by Mega Man X, which was released in 1993. Next year, it'll be 25 years since that game was released. And you're shooting or slashing enemies in procedurally generated stages made with chunks of level segments. So basically, there are tons of these different level segments which are rearranged into random sequences to create stages which are different every time you play them. And it's just like Mega Man where you have two characters to choose from. One is Nina, the other one is Ace.
Who do you like?
I beat the game with Ace.
Do you like Ace more though? Or I mean, that was kind of a lucky run for you too with all those health power-ups you had. I mean, like an insane amount of like health power-ups. Your guy
that
was
a
at,
lot.
Like,
that was a lot. And I actually got more even after I sent you that image. But wow. I was trying to beat it with Nina, which is like Mega Man, basically. She has a blaster, like a projectile shooter.
And Ace has got the sword.
Yeah, I tried with Nina and I was unsuccessful. And then I tried with Ace a couple times and I found more success there.
What kind of, like, I haven't played with Ace as much. What kind of, like, weapon, like, other weapons does he have? Because, like, with Nina, I really like the triple shot that she can get. But, like,
what is the triple shot?
So it shoots, like, you can get different weapons that you switch out your primary weapon for. And the triple shot, like, shoots, you know, like...
I've never switched a primary weapon.
Like an angle, like, you know, up, straight,
I've never switched a primary weapon, ever.
Really?
Yeah, really.
Damn, dude. I mean, you can get a four-way shot where you shoot up, down, left, and right with Nina as well, but I don't know what Ace
is. Where do you get those?
Just from, like, the chests and stuff. You know, you, like, break open a chest and maybe you'll have, like... you know, a piece of armor or something, or you could get like a different primary weapon.
I've never gotten a different primary weapon.
That's crazy.
That's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
The game has permadeath. It also has what are called soul chips, which is a currency which allows you to purchase passive upgrades or gain health or energy from vending machines.
No. In between runs, though, you can only use the soul tokens like when you're before you start a run. And then you use bolts or whatever to purchase things during a run.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Soul chips and bolts. Those are two different currencies which you can use basically to upgrade things. So there is permadeath, but there are kind of semi-permanent
or maybe they're nuts.
Abilities.
Anyways.
Yeah. I think you're thinking of nuts.
Nuts and soul chips. Chips.
Soul chips. Yeah.
Soul tokens. Soul nuts.
You also have what do they call, like, the vending machine, the slot machine tokens.
Yeah, that is like kind of...
It's a little confusing, actually, all these different things. So when I first started playing the game, I was kind of like, what is going on here? Like, I was not really clear on what I was supposed to do. It's not like Mega Man where you can select which level you want to go to and then you go beat that. It's
well, you kind of can. I mean, after you do the first run, then you're given three, after you beat the first boss, which is a randomly selected level, you're given three choices for which boss you want to take on next and what level it's in.
Right. So you have to beat eight different bosses to finish the game in its current state. It's in early access. When the game is finished, which is on August 16th, 2017, then they'll add a ninth stage. And then that'll be the final stage in the game. And there's apparently some kind of story-based ending, which explains something about the game or why you're fighting or whatever.
Yeah, I'm not really bland for the story. But who knows?
Well,
maybe
there is
it
no
could
story.
Be Downwell.
So you can't be playing for the story because there is no story.
There's a cutscene when the game boots up.
What does the cutscene say?
In the year 20XX, there's blah, 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 blah.
It's like the Mega Man, it's the Mega Man 2 intro. Where, like, hands up on the tower. Yeah. So, I mean, there's not really a story now, but the developers are talking about a story.
I don't really care about a story, to be honest, that much.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think that there's anything that they're going to add to the game story-wise that's going to, like, blow my mind or anything.
I also am doubtful that the story is going to blow your mind, but I don't know. It could be cool. Who knows?
Yeah, we'll update later. Oh, my God, my mind.
The game is developed by Battery Staple Games, and they started development 4 years ago in July of 2013. So that's a really long time. They've had bi-weekly updates to the game.
This has been the only
then.
Game, I think. I looked up online. This is the only one they've worked on, right? I think it's, it's been one of the guys, it's like his debut game. It was like funded on Kickstarter.
Yeah, it was funded on Kickstarter. It's been 4 years of bi-weekly updates on this game. That's a lot of development.
Yeah, I mean, they also spoke about how being in early access has like really helped the game a lot. They don't think it would have came to be if they hadn't been in early access.
Right. The founder, Chris King, is a huge fan of the Mega Man X series, and he wanted to reimagine a modern version of the game with procedural, roguelike gameplay and multiplayer co-op, which we tried at CGF last week. It was a little bit shaky. It's harder, I felt, in co-op.
I think when we were playing, I was rushing a lot. I mean, I think we can.
I think in general, in the co-op.
You revived me at like one point, didn't you? Yeah. How did you revive me? I don't even remember that. It was like
after
looking
you died.
Away.
After you died, it went like a minute, and then there was a thing to revive you.
Hmm.
So the game was actually originally named Echoes of Eridu.
Yeah, what a weird name, right? Dude?
Yeah, 20XX is a lot better.
Yeah,
they Echoes ran a successful Eridu? Kickstarter.
Like, what is Eridu?
Some story element that no one knows about. Who knows? But there was a successful Kickstarter campaign in May of 2014. So that was about a year after the game was released in early access. And he began collaborating with Firehose Games in late 2014, which renamed the game to 20XX.
That was 2015.
Nope. Okay. So almost 3 years of consistent bi-weekly updates in early access. And that is finally coming to an end next month when the game goes to 1.0. That'll be pretty exciting.
Yeah.
I bet this game will get a lot more users then.
I mean, do you know how many users it has? I didn't check
that
out.
No, but it's probably a lot. It's probably a lot. A lot of people like Mega Man. There hasn't been a Mega Man game in a long time.
Yeah, and what is the last Mega Man game?
That's a good question.
I mean, did you know that Dead Rising, the engine for that was originally supposed to be, they were making a new Mega Man Legends game.
No.
And that obviously never came to be. Sadly, I love the Mega Man Legends games. Those are like fucking awesome.
You know, a lot of Capcom games are dead now. A lot of Capcom series are dead now.
Yeah.
One that's not is
Resident Evil.
Yeah, Resident Evil is like one of the only ones. But it feels like a lot of the classic Capcom game series are dead.
And which is kind of sad.
Well, I mean, it is kind of sad, but there's 20XX, which is like probably better than they could have done themselves. I mean, if we're being honest.
I mean, I don't know. If they were doing Mega Man Legends and it was like Dead Rising is any indicator of like what could have been in a imagined Mega Man game, like that I think would have been really cool. I don't know if you played the Mega Man Legends games.
Did not.
Really, really fantastic games. And I think it would have been cool. And it's a shame that it never came to fruition. And that probably was like, I mean, what? That's like 10 years ago or something. And I don't think I've seen any, you know, Mega Man games in more than 10 years. I mean, unless they were like handheld or something.
It's a really challenging platformer. And finishing this, another game that I would really love to complete is Shovel Knight. But that game is just so hard. I feel like the degree of difficulty in Shovel Knight is almost not even comparable to 20XX.
Now, 20XX is like, it's manageable, man. It's definitely manageable. It's tough and challenging, but it's like a big part of it, I think, is like rushing it, you know, and like trying to get the bonus you get at the end of the level for like beating a level under a certain amount of time,
which you pretty much need.
That's what like pressures you, I think. But like the platforming is not impossible, and like if you're a little bit patient, I think it's manageable. But like the difficulty definitely goes up in the later levels, like the like more challenging iterations of bosses. Some of them are like, my new strategy in the game has been to like try to select the bosses I have the most difficult time with early on.
Sure.
So that I can, before I was like, I'm going to get as far as I can and like take on bosses I know. And then I realized I was making the bosses that I hate fighting like ridiculously impossible.
Well, I did that when I beat the game. I went after the toughest bosses first and then beat those. But yeah, actually what I found was, when I got to the end, the last boss, which I beat, was the two guys.
Oh, yeah, they're like fire and ice.
Yeah, the fire and ice ones. And those were the more difficult like variation. And that one was pretty tough. So I mean, even the tough one, even the easy ones are tough at the end because they don't die as quickly.
The hardest one for me, I think, is that like plant one, the like head that kind of comes out and shoots vines or whatever, because it doesn't really give you a good warning of where it's going to show up next. And like frequently I would just be like caught off guard and be stuck like being attacked by it in a corner or something. And in the later, like when it's more challenging, it has all these like random little flowers like popping up all over the place shooting things at you. So I'd be like trying to dodge random bullets while I'm like looking around manically trying to like find where it's going to come.
You know, this game reminded me a lot of Downwell also.
Yeah, I mean, it's like similar in the sense that it is like they're both procedural roguelikes. So similar. Downwell is, I think, more challenging, I think.
But you finished Downwell and you haven't finished this.
Yeah, because I mean, I put like 20 hours into Downwell.
Yeah, that's a lot of time.
Yeah, I put like 5 hours into this game.
Yeah.
And I think I'm going to beat it like soon. So, you know, like I definitely think Downwell is much more challenging.
How far have you gotten in this?
Level 6. Yeah. And there's like 8 levels. So I feel confident that if I like just invest time in it, I'll get there. I'll have like a good run, you know, and have a little bit of luck and just get there. The biggest thing I think is having a ton of, like if you have a ton of life like you did, it doesn't even matter if you like suck.
Oh, I definitely do not agree with that.
I mean, like if you have enough life and you're like playing adequately, like I think for me I'll get through to the end.
When do you think you'll beat it? You want to make a prediction?
No. I don't know. I don't have time to work on it today, I don't think, so I'll probably beat it this week.
Cool. What else?
On normal, like a real man.
Are you really playing it on normal?
Yeah.
You're never going to beat it on that.
I'm going to.
You can't even beat it on easy.
Yeah, but I'm getting to level 6 and shit on normal in one life.
Six is not... I got to level 6 on one life too.
Yeah, well... All right, dude. When I beat it on... What's the like super hard difficulty called? They have like weird names for the difficulty.
Yeah, they do. The easy mode is Revenant.
Yeah. Anyways, when I beat it on the super hard difficulty, I I got nothing. I don't know, but you're a bitch.
That was great. That was great. I'm glad you mentioned that. Thank you. Thank you for doing that. That's some excellent shit talking. You're just like really, really good at that.
You beat me. I'm broken over here.
Yeah.
Like in this war of mine, I'm just laying down, unable to talk.
Right. So now that we're recording a podcast, I wanted to give you an opportunity to challenge me in another game that I can beat you in.
Oh, no. I'm going to beat you this time.
In what?
In... I don't know, man. Like you, like I'm playing Zelda right now and 20XX. What? And I was thinking about like what are good games for us to challenge each other in? Because I feel like some games are like much better. You know what might be fun? Binding of Isaac. I've never beat Binding of Isaac.
That takes like so long, man. We might as well do Spelunky if you want to do something that, like, takes forever,
dude. I mean, to actually beat it. Will only take, you know, like one run will take, you know, like 30 minutes to an hour.
People spend like hundreds of hours in that game before beating it.
Yeah. So can you beat me? I'm open to another suggestion, but I mean,
yeah, I don't think that's a good one.
That one is achievable for me, I think, but all right, something less time consuming. I don't know. You bring it up. You bring the challenge.
Okay, let me think about that, and I will do that, though. As we wrap this podcast up, though, let's talk a little bit about... are you playing anything else recently?
No, not really. Just been, like, gung-ho with 20XX. Oh, and then Lana's, like, got me hooked on, like, for, like, a few hours this week on this dumbass fucking mobile game called Balls. It's just, like, a stupid puzzle game. Kind of like, what's that game? Bubble Bobble or whatever, where you have to like do this thing and then knock out things, but you have like a number.
Peggle?
Yeah, kind of Peggle. But yeah, I haven't really been doing anything other than like trying to desperately beat you at 20XX and then being depressed.
Okay. Well, I just finished Wolfenstein The Old Blood. Really enjoyed it. It was a much shorter game than the other Wolfenstein.
Both. How long was super it? Good. Like 8 hours?
No, it was less than that. It's maybe like 5.
Damn.
Yeah, it's pretty short. It's a standalone
DLC.
Yeah, it's like a standalone expansion. Add-on. Exactly, yeah. Standalone expansion. It's a really good game. Recommended. I recommend them both. They are short, fantastic action games. A little bit similar to Doom, but they have better story than Doom. Yeah. I kind of probably.
I mean, you
enjoyed
were raving about the first one when you were playing
the
it.
First
and
one's
the narrative.
Like one of the best shooters ever, I think, you know, like top 5. It's really, really, really good.
Yeah, I'll play it when I get my new computer. The Raspberry Pi will run it, right?
Finished that, and also finished South Park Stick of Truth, finally, after 2 years or so after I started that game.
Yeah, that's good job.
Really, really funny.
Coming back around, like, several years later.
Yeah. Well, I had it on my in progress Steam playlist for like literally 2 years.
Was it like hard for you to get back into it when you like?
Yeah. 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 It was maybe like an hour.
It's like
to adjust
like
back into it.
Leaving in the middle of a movie and then picking up where you like left off. Like,
yeah.
A
well,
year
I forgot.
Later.
I forgot like how to do basic things in the game. So I had to relearn that. I also kind of like lost track of what I was supposed to do, although the game has pretty good guides for that.
Good metaphor for my life.
It's kind of a difficult game too. There are these little kind of sort of action sequence mini games in Stick of Truth, which I thought were really difficult. There are two of them in particular where you're giving people abortions, which are really hard, like mechanically difficult. I had to like go online to be like, how do I get past the abortion part? And there's like tons of people who are
so giving people abortions
question.
Is difficult.
Yeah. You know, you mess it up and they die and it's like game over.
Cool.
All right. Well, thank you very much for listening to the podcast. If you guys listening to this haven't played This War of Mine or 20XX, they're both really good games. They're both available for pretty cheap on Steam. And This War of Mine is also on Android and iOS in case you have an iPad or a tablet and want to play on that. If you want to check out more episodes of our podcast, you can find it on Apple Podcasts, which used to be called iTunes Podcasts. So no longer using that name. And you can also download or stream our podcast on the website at chundugaming.com.
Yeah, and we also have a Twitter. And if you could leave us a review, that would be great.
Review on Twitter. Review us
on
Twitter.
No, review on iTunes, Apple Pod, that thing.